If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the pure light of divine awareness. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening our seminar topic is, Create for Yourself a Beautiful Mind and Worldview. Create for yourself a beautiful mind and worldview. So let's begin with an attunement. Take a deep breath. And call yourself forward into your pure, clear light of awareness. It's within you. It's within your mind. Because it's part of God's mind that you share eternally. It is that place of quiet knowing and absolute certitude. And when you connect to that, you are virtually omniscient. There's nothing that you cannot know. When you are connected to the clear light of divine awareness within you. So I bless each one of you listening this evening, or whenever you listen, with a good mind. May you all experience that pure divine mind that is within you, that is part of the divine creative intelligence itself. It resides just beyond your thinking, your mental chatter, your questions, your doubts, your insecurities. When you can bypass all of your personal sense of inadequacy, and just dismiss, like a happy elephant dismisses the brush as it moves through the forest with its trunk. It parts the way with its trunk as it swings back and forth. That's a metaphor for using the light of discernment to part your way in life between the real and the unreal. Between the temporal and passing and that which is permanent and forever yours. And you do that through that clear light within you that is forever connected with the mind of God, with the creative intelligence, out of which all things have sprung forth into apparent manifestation. And so, allow that part of you to come forward more clearly in your awareness as we do our work this evening. Ask that the masters, angels, teachers, benefactors that work with you to assist you to connect with your direct divine mind. And know that once you've asked, all of the universe will coordinate and cooperate to rearrange the events in your life, to bring forward the awareness and the understanding that you're ready to receive You cannot possibly utter a prayer or request. And remember, every thought, in a way, is a prayer. So watch your thoughts. Think about what you do want to have happen in your life. But know that every prayer is heard, and instantly begins to be answered, but in a way that doesn't violate even those areas of resistance that you wish weren't there, but they come up. The Divine Spirit will never inflict itself on even the slightest area of resistance. So be aware of that. If you are in a pattern of resistance, and that always comes from your limited self or your ego, the Holy Spirit will stand back until every level of your being says yes. And in that congruent agreement, the manifestation sometimes is instant and sometimes over a period of time. Because you know everything already. There's nothing you do not know and don't have access to. It's just that you have been distracted into hunkering down into a sense of identity that is largely unconscious of who you truly are. And so every time we do a seminar, we're opening your mind and parting those veils a little bit more. So that which is part of you and your own innate nature can come forward into your conscious awareness. That's all we're doing. There is nothing for you to learn. There is nothing for you to achieve or attain. There is simply letting go of your sense and your self-imposed sense of lack and limitation, and returning your awareness to your divine wholeness. So once that's done, it's like everything else comes into divine order. Your health, physically, mentally, every level of your being, financially, relationships, everything will pony up in accordance with your divine self. Once you realize who you truly are, and you're sending forth that clear soul signature, that clear resonance into time and space, I am that I am. And then your very word becomes the command that the entire universe rearranges itself to reobey, to obey and to reaccommodate. And then you become eventually like Sai Baba, who can turn earth into sky and sky into earth, if he so wished. Whatever arises in his mind instantly manifests. I've sat in the interview room with Satya Sai Baba, the full avatar of the divine, and have sat under his hand as he was manifesting things. And he would move his hand in circles, and a light would appear in the center of his palm and quickly materialize into a piece of fruit or candy or a rosary or a medallion or a ring. And then he would grab it as it would take into full manifestation. How many times I've eaten candy and things that he's materialized, and it'll still be warm. And he'll say something like, "This is fresh from the Sai Bakery." And one time in a dream, he was teaching me how to manifest, and I was moving my hand in a circle, and my palm in the dream got really hot, and it was like a red triangle that appeared in the center of my palm. And this white sticky stuff came out of my palm. It was like a marshmallow, like a melted marshmallow. And then he awakened me quickly into the physical so that I could, imprint that in my mind. And there was still a little red spot in my palm, and I could still have the sense of the stickiness that was beginning the manifestation process. But each one of you in the night travel is taken into the inner realms and is worked with and is taught about manifestation. Everything begins with the creative intelligence of God through a spoken word, which then manifests as light, which is the, let's say, the divine blueprint, which then manifests as heat or divine fire, and then the very last precipitation is the actual form itself. So the whole creative process in the human being follows the same process. Everything starts with a divine intention, a will to create, divine idea, and that is followed by the spoken word, and that is followed by the light, the divine consciousness in that envisions that particular form. And then the manifestation takes place. And thought is always creative and produces form at some level. So your life is the manifestation of the sum total of your predominant thoughts. So to change anything, whether it's in your life or at another level, in which you may be working on the inner planes, the thought pattern is what has to change first. And in your life, first you need to shift the way of thinking and anticipating and interpreting things. That has to shift. You know, the old, maybe not so old, but the license plate that says, expect a miracle, or the signs we sometimes see, expect a miracle. That is actually what we're speaking of here. You come to expect an answer to your prayers, an answer to the questions that you've asked of Spirit. You expect to find the evidence of your request being responded to. And the universe can speak through anyone, through anything, through nature, through the braying of a donkey. There are stories in the Vedas of cows and donkeys that suddenly brayed forth, you know, some divine edict. Anything is possible. The only limiting factor in all of cosmos is the ego mind. The ego mind has bought into separation from God, which is impossible, it's a fiction, it never happened. But almost everyone is running their lives as if it were so. And because every thought is creative, you experience a life as if it were separate and apart from God. And I would say everything. Because everything is imbued with God. So when you feel separate from God, you feel separate from yourself, from your loved ones, from people. In fact, you can't even really get in touch with your love when you feel separate from God, because God is the very love within you, with which you love, with which you have a sense of union and communion with others. So the entire spiritual life is about discovering your true nature, your true divine self, and then living in accordance with your inherent divinity. And when you do that, you find everything else is added unto you. Everything else comes to you, unbidden, as it is necessary, as it is needed, or simply to give you delight. Then you're living in truly a miraculous, wondrous life that you can't even imagine when you're still trying to be a human being and overcome your human frailties. Get over it. Forget it. Your nature is divine love, wisdom, and creative intelligence. And there's about 8.5 billion ways, at least on this planet, to manifest that. So perhaps it would be of assistance to explain exactly what the mind is. First of all, be aware that everything that appears in your life represents an image that your mind has made and given meaning by your interpretation. Everything you see is an image your mind has made and given an interpretation by you alone. So you literally exist in your own mental world. Until you pop that bubble of egocentricity and separate perception, and you, when you pop that bubble of limitation, you find you are in the absolute quantum field of unlimited potentiality. So get that as an image in your mind. When your little bubble personality ego is popped, you simply exist then in the field, the quantum field of unlimited potentiality. So you go from the circumscription of human limitation to the divine absolute with a pop, the bursting of that bubble of limitation. So the mind, and you can look at your own mind if you'd like, you can do that by visualizing yourself as if you were looking at an individual outside of yourself, or if you were looking at your reflection in a mirror. Of course, you do this inwardly. And you will notice that the mind is a field of yellow to golden hued energy that can be seen clairvoyantly surrounding the upper torso and head. And it's present in every person. That particular field of energy is called the mental body. Now, the lower mental body in every person is usually filled with the thought forms of the things that you think about the most often. You'll see all kinds of figures and thought forms and colors and geometric patterns, all sorts of things, usually litter the lower mind of the average person. So it's not a clear field. In an illumined person, you'll see what resembles a golden nimbus that is depicted as the halos that artists will draw around the heads of saints and masters. And that is known as the clear light of pure awareness. And simplistically speaking, there are basically two levels of the mind. A Course in Miracles defines them as the ego mind or the Christ mind. And again, when I use the term Christ, I'm using that in the sense of the divine mind. It's not limited to a religion or a religious figure. You could call it the Buddha mind too. Same thing. It's the clear mind of awareness. So these basically two levels of the mind are the lower mind or ego mind, which is the conditioned mind, and the higher intuitive mind, or buddhi, which is unconditioned awareness, or divinely conditioned. That part that is utilized by you as the divine being that you are. So the lower mind is the part that questions, doubts, inquires, thinks, reasons, but lacks direct awareness. The lower mind operates in and on the basis of past experiences and learning. The lower mind imitates, the higher mind creates. Like, for example, Sai Baba, when he would manifest things, he said that these are not yogic powers or siddhis, as they're called in Sanskrit. These are genuine divine creations. And he was letting us know that this is that higher form of creation. And he said, this seems like miracle to you, but to me it's just my nature. So your nature is creative, just like Sai Baba, as an incarnation of pure divinity. It's his nature to manifest whatever arises in his mind, which is prompted by his love for people and his desire to give them happiness and joy. And likewise, you'll find that you have those abilities too when you live to give joy and happiness to other people. That's when you tap those deep spiritual powers within you. So the higher mind transcends thinking to pure, clear mindfulness or awareness, which is based upon present revelation and direct access to knowing, without the limitations imposed by thinking and reasoning. You move directly to the knowing without the need to think. And this higher mind or buddhi is virtually all-knowing because it is the mind of God itself. And again, that's within you. It's part of your software as a divine embodiment. So mental health, like physical health, has to do with our daily intake and output, and with whatever we take into our consciousness and allow to color and direct our attitudes and lifestyle choices and behavior. And health, both physically and mentally, results from returning our awareness to our perfect divine wholeness. Again, the only part that ever has an appearance of dis-ease or discomfort in any way whatsoever is when we have identified with something that is inherently not real. Your nature is divine bliss, awareness, goodness, grace, abundance. That's your true nature. It's not something you have to earn or learn or develop. It's who you are when everything else falls away. So health results from remembering who and what you are forever as an immortal spirit. It is knowing that you're simply enjoying a field trip into this field of dreams that we call earth life and human limitation, which is meant to be experiential and adventuresome and enjoyable. And it is once we realize it is nothing more than a temporary mind game that we are playing with ourselves. Life can be so much fun, and it is when you realize it's exactly what you have in your mind. And you can make your mind beautiful. You know, it's such a great blessing to be born with a good, pure mind, a mind that has a natural inclination to inquiry and reflection. And this comes as a reward of spiritual practice in previous births. So many of you, particularly those of you who listen to me regularly, have a spiritual nature, or you wouldn't be interested in hearing what I have to say. And that's the result of a good mind. So thank God for it. I often thank God for my mind. I have such a beautiful mind because it's interesting. It just naturally turns to God like a sunflower turns to the sun. I don't even have to think about it. It relates everything to God. And that's a result of God's grace and many, many lifetimes in which I've been focused into the spiritual life. So tell me what you're feeding your mind on a regular daily basis. That you might want to do a little inventory. What did you feed your mind today? From the time you got up in the morning until now, presuming you're listening in the evening, what did you feed your mind? And you know, once I know what you fed your mind, if you're not completely in a state of bliss and peace, I'll show you why you're not, and why you're depressed, sad, unhappy, anxious, fearful, etc. I'll show you exactly why you are drinking and smoking and taking drugs, or in and out of relationships like musical chairs or beds, as the case may be. It's because of what you've been putting into your mind on a regular basis. You're not in control of your life, because you're not directing your mind where you want it to be, where you want to be. You are literally where your mind is focused, not where your body is. You become what you dwell upon mentally, almost instantly. Your body in itself is entirely neutral and inert. It merely acts out the impulses of the mind. Now, neuroscientists, experts in the brain and how it functions and the consciousness, say that 80% of our behavior or more is subconscious. So basically that means we're sound asleep, the kid is left home alone, and no one is monitoring what's going on. So it kind of pays to study yourself, doesn't it? Look at your life. Your life is the only template for your spiritual practice. It's to know who you are. It's to know yourself. It's to know your emotions, your mind, your impulses, the areas where you tend to get caught up, the areas where you're weak, the areas where you have fear and greed and lust and anger, jealousy, envy, regret, guilt, remorse, self-judgment, self-condemnation. Those are the areas you need to look at in the clear light of your higher awareness. And like that elephant moving in the path through the forest, you've got to separate the real from the unreal, the darkness from light, death from immortality, the temporal and passing from the eternal. You have to exercise discernment. Otherwise, you're just going willy-nilly taking on anything that's in your path and living life as a hapless victim. And I think probably you're way too evolved to do that, or you wouldn't be listening up until this point in this particular seminar. You'd be off doing something else. So let's assume that you're here to be enlightened, which is why you're taking what I have to say quite seriously, because these are offering you the keys and tools and techniques that you need to employ so that you can divest yourself of falsehood and stand in a pure light of your own divine omniscience. So if you truly want to change the quality of your life experience, then you're going to need to adjust your mental intake and your verbal output. Because again, no word that you utter is without some basis of thought. Even the so-called thoughtless comments you make in jest, those have come out of the deposit you've made in your heart, because out of your heart, your mouth speaks. So even those little seemingly mindless quips and jabs that you might make in seeming jest have been germinating in the field of your consciousness, and they come out in that way. And they're creative, and they have an effect. Don't waste time, breath, energy, consciousness on being mindless. The mindfulness that we're speaking about is exercising conscious awareness in what you put out and what you take in. We've all heard the phrase garbage in, garbage out. Well, that applies to your mind as well. But it can also be beauty in and beauty reflected outward. So what are you putting into your mind day in and day out? That is what is creating your consciousness, your bed of reality in which you sleep, or in which you toss and turn, or in which you revel in your own inner bliss. So if all you're feeding your mind is media news and daily world events, and you're paying attention only to making a living and meeting social obligations, how do you expect to manifest your true magnificence as an embodiment of the divine? How much time, effort, and focus do you commit each day to going within and exploring yourself, your own true self, the levels of your being? How much time do you commit each day to making a conscious divine connection and communing with the bliss within you? The bliss is there too. It's just behind the illusion of your anxiety. How much time do you expend each day expending your awareness and filling your mind with the wisdom of illumined minds and enlightened thinkers? Do you spend any time at all on that? None? Well, then you're going to end up with nothing to show for your time here. You are here as a student of life to know your true self and to be true to that true self. Your true self is not your personal ego and preferences. Your true self is unlimited love and wisdom, and creative potential. So your practice, should you care to engage more conscious awareness, is to practice observing rather than getting fully caught up in the mass consciousness of your daily events. See if you can remain neutral as to which team wins or loses, for example, when you're watching a sporting event. Yes, even if your son or daughter is playing, live your life as an example of true values by letting them know that it's not about who wins the game, it's how well one plays the game. And this is an area where you can teach true values to your children and their approach to life in general. So we are not here to gain the approval of the world or to fit into the world. We are here to awaken and transcend this world for higher creative realms of manifestation. We're just passing through here as tourists. But while we're here, we are busy assisting in transforming the worldview through our own personal transformation. You can't change the outer world. You can only change your own worldview. But when you do that, it has a reverberation throughout the collective. So then the mark that you leave on the world is the power of your unique spiritual imprint and energy signature, which is ineradicable. You know, you exist as a unique embodiment of divinity, even though you live in a quantum absolute universe where all life is one, you still are unique in your energy of love and wisdom and creative input. So you show up and are recognized on the spiritual radar, so to speak, when you, the soul, is running your life rather than your false self or ego. Like you show up, you're acknowledged, you're recognized in spirit then. So out of your thoughts, you create your life's experience. But most live in the mind. Yet, you're not your mind. You're so much more than just your mind. You are divine, universal, cosmic, ever-expanding awareness. But most are living out of the sense of the singular mini-mind, the mini-me. And most of you are living out of your personal story. Few of you have awakened beyond your limited ego-defined self, even those of you that are on a spiritual path. You've simply upgraded your story to include where you've come from and in the cosmos and your spiritual level, labels, whatever. But that's not who you are either. That's not who you are either. In highest truth, the absolute cutting to the chase truth, every name and every form is your name and your form. Just like God. Like last week, we said that you live in God like air lives in the atmosphere. That's how intrinsically your nature is one with God. Like water in the ocean. You can't tell the difference. Can you? Your nature is indistinguishable from God, like sweetness and sugar, like water in the sea, like air in the atmosphere. Fill your mind with such beautiful thoughts. Fill your mind with beautiful thoughts, happy thoughts, thoughts of goodwill, thoughts of kindness and benevolence. Many people are critical of others, offering negative comments, where they have no right whatsoever to do so. Those kind of thoughts, those critical, judgmental thoughts, will bind you. So learn to overcome this tendency by observing how your energy droops whenever you say something critical or judgmental or unkind. You're sapping and draining your own vitality every time you do that. Course of Miracles says that our body is only here to communicate love. And when it fails to communicate love, it will self-destruct. So that's the initiator of all dis-ease process, is using your body lovelessly. You're causing it to self-destruct. Only love heals. Only love sets you free. Only love builds strength. Only love gives you energy. Only love refreshes and refuels and regenerates you from mortal to immortal life. So others, so many others, are so busy minding the business of other people and telling them what they should be doing or how they could be doing it better, they're not taking care of their own business. And every person is equipped to handle only their own life plan and karmic lessons. No one else can manage their life situation as well as they can and must if they're going to fulfill their soul's purpose in this incarnation. So your very areas of challenge and difficulty and sorrow and unhappiness and conflict are the areas that you are meant to deal with and sort out and reconcile in some way that's harmonious and or neutral. Until it's at that stage, you still have karma. Now, you have three kinds of karma. You have the karma, the karmic, let's say, mouthful or plateful that you have a portion for this particular lifetime that you're in. And that is what your life is about this time around. Whether you're dealing with relationship difficulties, or an addictive pattern, or a handicap, or a gender confusion, or whatever, whatever your issue is that you're up against every day of your life, that's the plateful of unfinished business that you have dished out to be consumed in this lifetime. And again, you can do that through grace, or you co-partner with God and keep choosing into the loving and the surrendering and the trusting and the walking by faith and not by sight. Or you can do it the hard way, which is to go in and out and in and out and in and out of these situations and leave them unfinished to where you have to come back again and finish them at another time. You're not left off the hook. By who? By you. You yourself hold yourself accountable for your own creations. So it's not God up in the sky punishing you or judging you. It's you holding yourself accountable for mastering yourself. So how to create a beautiful mind? Well, focus upon wherever you are at any given moment of the day or on the inner planes if you're starting to wake up in your dreams. Focus upon the most beautiful thing in your environment. There's got to be something that's bright and beautiful in your environment. And breathe it in like food, like oxygen, like a transfusion of divinity. Because God is beauty. One of the manifestations of God is beauty. So all of the attractiveness we see in people or things in the world are reflections of God as beauty. So consider beauty itself as soul nourishment. And accompanying that is the mantra from A Course in Miracles, God is in everything I see. God is in everything I see. And so focus on the most beautiful thing that you can find in your environment. And you'll notice that that begins to feed energy into you. Now, if you're outdoors, it could be the sky or the distant horizon or a tree or flowers or the smell of earth or the texture of grass or moss or sand or trees. Find that which you can relate to the divine. Or if you're in a city, appreciate the architectural design of a building, the color and the diversity of the buildings, the color and design of the cars passing by, and the various sounds. And with that, remind yourself of this mantra from the Course in Miracles. All sounds are but echoes of the voice for God. All sounds are but echoes of the voice for God. You can notice the people on the street and ponder on the unique outer features of that one divine spirit that's appearing as all of this diversity, all of these colors and shapes and nationalities and forms. And yet there's one spirit that's illumining and vivifying every one of them with life. And remind yourself, all life is one. One divine spirit is appearing as all of this. Bulbs are many. Light is one. Cows are many. Milk is one. Bodies are many. Blood is one. Forms are many. God is one. You can also look for the colors and the textures and the patterns around you. You'll find mandala designs and carpets and ornate ironwork. Begin to see everything beyond its obvious. Let it take you and carry you as a meditation deeper beyond that form. Become one with your environment without aversion or fear. And for this, you can use the mantra, "My holiness blesses all I see," from the Course in Miracles. My holiness blesses all I see. And contemplate how God is in all that you see. You know, marry your day with these mantras of remembrance. Marry your day with mantras of remembrance of the divine. Think as you move through your day, my holiness blesses this. My holiness blesses you. My holiness blesses all that I see. When you encounter anyone, regardless of the interaction, let in your mind let the mantra be, my holiness blesses you, and your holiness blesses me. This is how you fill your mind with beauty. You live in your mind, so why not make it beautiful? Why not make it beautiful? Make your thoughts beautiful. And the world is simply a manifestation of your mind. Sai Baba says that the world exists only in your mind, that it becomes real for you only when you remember it. Only when you remember the mind, or excuse me, the world, does it become real for you. I remember being in the ashram and Sai Baba's ashram for months at a time. I had no knowledge of the world at all. There were presidential elections here in the United States. I didn't know who our president was. I wasn't there for all of the political hoo-ha and carrying on. I could have cared less. It didn't exist for me. And so realize you don't have to participate in any area of the world that you don't want to have as part of your reality. You may think, well, that's not being realistic. Yes, it is. It's really being realistic. Only bring into your awareness what you want to have as your reality. It's outrageous, I know, but it's absolutely true. I live like this, so I'm speaking out of my own direct experience. You really can stop the world and get off. But it's exited by departing that ego mind. You have to transcend that ego mind that's curious about the world. It wants to know what's happening in Washington or Russia or Timbuktu or wherever. It wants to mind the business of other people. It wants to know what's happening with the pop stars and the movie stars and the this and the that. That's the ego. That's the human ego mind. You can fill your mind with that if you want, but it's going to be a mixed bag. It's not going to be a place that you could call paradise. I'm talking about making your mind a paradise that you share with God. You can do it. You can make your mind a paradise. If your mind and the mindset set that you habitually hang out in defines your life here in this dream, know that it does the same thing when you leave your body. Sai Baba said that you move into your subtotal of predominant states of mind when you leave your body in death. You go into your mind again and you create your heaven or your hell. That's why people sometimes have near-death experiences and they report going to hell. That's their mind. That's their own self-indictment. God doesn't have a hell. God doesn't create hell. God doesn't have anything to do with hell. That's your own mind that you inherit. You inherit the fruit of your thoughts, your beliefs, of your predominant preoccupations. And if you live in hatred and turmoil and anger and vindictiveness, do you expect to depart this world into a different state? No. No. You will go into that mindset. So it's very important that you take hold of your mind now while you have all of the opportunity in the world to practice and to cultivate a beautiful mind and a beautiful consciousness, and bring into your mind what you want in there and nothing else. Fill your mind. If you're interested in the spiritual things, don't read stupid books that have no reality, that can't give you any nourishment spiritually. Read the books and the literature of truly enlightened people. Read Sai Baba's books. Read things that Ramakrishna and the great saints and sages. Read books for men and women who've had direct experience of divine awareness. Read the biographies of the mystics and the self-realized people. Fill your mind with that. Read The Course in Miracles. Read things that actually will build in the infrastructure through which you can inhabit the heaven of higher awareness within your own day-to-day existence. Keep company with God. It's very important that you pick a name and a form of God that you love with all your heart, without a slightest twinge of doubt or dislike, and that you keep company with that name and that form of the Lord. And that you repeat the names of the Lord and the mantras, beautiful, beautiful mantras. There are thousands of beautiful mantras. And pick one of them. And let that be the background of your day, so that you're not letting your mind just run in idle chit-chat and chatter and silliness. Let it be attached to the name of the Lord. Give your mind a job. It's got to think. That's its nature. So give it something to dwell upon, a name in the form of the Lord. And then do your work for God, not for a paycheck, not for approval, not for name and fame. Do it for God as a yoga, as an offering of service. And then everything in your life will lead you Godward. Now, areas you can observe and exercise more conscious discernment would be, for example, the buffet. I think that's a good arena for observation. Life really is very much like a buffet line of multiple choices as to what you will partake of or go past. So watch yourself when you go to a buffet. You just allow the greed and desire of the lower nature to allow you to just go willy-nilly and pile your plate with everything in the world without giving any conscious thought to what you're taking. You know, when you're in a buffet or a cafeteria, do you just fill your plate without any discernment as to selecting the foods that would work best in your body? And are you paying attention to the compatible food combinations that enhance your digestion? Or do you suffer from indigestion, gas, bloating, belching, acid reflux? Did it ever occur to you that these are unnatural? These are indicators that you're not digesting your food and you need to pay attention. That also relates to consciousness, because if you can't digest your food on a physical level, it means there's something in your consciousness that you're not able to digest and assimilate and make peace with. As above, so below. As within, so without. So many people just unconsciously pop antacids without any dietary modifications or awareness as to why they have gas or don't feel well after they eat certain foods. Awareness is everything. Awareness, self-observation, self-awareness. So if a person is unwilling to exercise awareness in such obvious areas that affect the quality of life, then how is such a person going to master the extremely subtle levels of spiritual awareness? You know, these little things in life all matter. Nothing is inconsequential in your spiritual life. So your task is to become more conscious of what you're putting in your mouth and how that affects how you feel afterwards. Your stomach is the size of your fist. Make a fist right now and look at it, okay? A portion of that fist has to be, or stomach, has to be allocated to light and a small portion to air. So that leaves about, two-thirds of the stomach that you can put some food in, which means you don't really need to eat a lot of food to fill your stomach, doesn't it? So that's another thing to be aware of. This is the teaching of the Vedic masters in terms of food consumption. And just notice all the areas in your life where you get unduly overwrought emotionally. Sports, watching sports events, or getting into a political or a religious debate. These are areas where people can just go wacko in a nanosecond trying to uphold their positions of rightness and polarized whatevers. So watch yourself that you don't get overly invested emotionally or mentally in anything of this world. Baba said that the time will come when you realize that the whole of this universe is simply a dream that was totally nothing in significance compared to the omnipresent divinity of you, with that tiny bubble of ego definition is popped, and you awaken as the absolute, all that is. That is what is for you, beloveds. And so fight that tendency to go unconscious and to just allow the lower self to dictate, and begin to consciously elect to import into your life, into your mind, into your senses, into your environment, as much beauty as you possibly can, and make your very mind the paradise in which you dwell with God. So again, blessings to each one of you, that you may have peaceful minds, good minds, godly minds, and that you will all awaken to the pure divinity that you are. And let's go out chanting, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Shanti is the very vibration of peace in the Sanskrit language. Deep breath. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. May all the beings of all the worlds have peace. God bless you. Adonai.